There is a moment when I find myself desperately wanting a shaman. We're way out in the Mongolian countryside, 2 days from the city, at least 8 hours by four-wheel drive from the nearest big town, when we stop at a cabin to buy some food. But suddenly the cook is in tears. Two nearby children have taken an overdose of pills, she says. Can we, Westerners and Mongolians with vehicles and medical training, can we help? It's nearly midnight. Our whole party is battered and exhausted from days of punishing travel. But what choice do we have? We set out driving cross-country through a night as black to find this family and their sick kids.
We're a long way from the nearest settlement, and we've got a veterinarian and a nurse and a former pharmacist. And it's very unclear what we're going to do, which all of a sudden makes the shaman seem very relevant.
I was in Mongolia to interview shamans, to find out how they're surviving in a country that's changing fast. Shamans like Tsend. Tsend is a nomadic reindeer herder who lives 7 hours on horseback from the nearest town, high in the mountains. I met her on a frigid morning. She was sitting on a reindeer skin on the floor of her teepee in her emerald tunic and bare feet. Tsend is 70 years old and nearly blind. And bad teeth, she says, make it hard to play. This mouth music is what she calls transportation. It's how the shaman travels to the spirit world.
If someone is sick, I can meet the Ongots, the spirits for them. If they are very sick, I approach the strong spirits. If they are not so sick, I can approach one that is not as strong.
Ongots are the spirits of ancestors and of nature. Each is both a material thing, often a bundle of cloth strips hanging in a tent, and something immaterial. During her shamanic ritual, Tsend goes into a trance and the spirits enter her body, letting her see the future, place curses, or heal the sick.
Only the shaman has the knowledge to approach the spirits.
And we're just crossing the river.
Without a bridge.
Mongolia is a land of vast distances and few roads. That night, as we were driving in search of those sick children, it was the isolation, I think, that made me want a shaman. All right, what I really wanted was an intensive care unit, but at that point, a shaman would have been more than we could offer.
They aren't.
They aren't conscious now.
Yet even in the city of Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia's booming and modern capital, people want shamans, and demand is on the increase. Take the lineup of customers outside a shaman's tent one morning. One of them was a discouraged-looking man about 30. Dovchung is a meat seller and an alcoholic who says that drinking is ruining his life.
I've been taking pills against drinking. I've been going to sessions twice a week. I've had all sorts of treatments, but nothing has helped. Someone told me that shaman can get rid of the sickness, so I came here.
Above the door of the tent is a blue and white sign, House of Mongolian Shamanistic Ritual, Biamdorj the Shaman.
We all used to do Java.
You don't get an interview with Biamdorj as much as an audience.
I'm the ninth generation of shamans. I get my power from eternal sky. Everything that we do is related to eternal sky.
The shaman is a large man with an ample belly. His thinning black hair is pulled back in a ponytail. Biamdorj sits surrounded by colored silks, animal skins, and the bundled strips of cloth that are part of his costume. He sits on a kind of elevated orange throne. Dovchung, his customer, enters the tent and sits on a low wooden stool next to Biamdorj, and the shaman talks softly to him about the power of Tingri, the eternal sky.
So this is your second time here. You're looking good, generally speaking. I can see light in your face, but you're still in the process. You're not there yet. So Tingri is looking upon you. It's about to pull you up. If Tingri didn't look upon you, you would look like a dog, a mongrel in the street.
After a moment of prayer, Dovchung removes his shirt and a ritual begins.
Shush! Shush!
The Amdord shouts to the spirits, begging the sky to give Dovchung back his good fortune. He shakes a rattle and douses Dovchung with vodka. The smell of it fills the air. Dovchung has been sober now for several weeks. He says the shaman's treatment seems to be working. Though Dovchung is a Buddhist, he says maybe different religions are good for different things. And he's visiting the shaman much in the way you or I might visit a doctor. There was no doctor out in the Mongolian countryside that night as we Westerners and Mongolians burst from the dark into a candlelit tent to find two unconscious children.
He's the bigger one.
In that brief moment when I wished for the help of a shaman, how was I different from Dovchung, each of us willing to try anything that would give us a little help in a senseless and arbitrary world? But in the event, neither a doctor nor a shaman was required. Those two kids were going to live with or without our help. Those children will grow up in a democratic and rapidly changing Mongolia. The communist rulers here banned shamanism for most of the 20th century. But today the new openness allows for a new urban entrepreneurial shamanism. Beamdorj is a shaman for a consumer society. In the remote mountains where Tsend and the reindeer herders live, shamanism is not an afterthought or a business. It remains a way of seeing the world. And one afternoon, a reindeer herder named Bayara, a man about 50, stepped away from a card game to talk.
Since I was a child, I was raised with shamans. I have connections to the spirits of nature, of mountain, water, and to the spirits of the five skies. I pray to these spirits. I pray for the health of my reindeer, for everything I want. These are my beliefs.
A nomad following his reindeer, Bayara lives much as his grandparents did. Is it the isolation that's allowed the relatively traditional shamanic culture of the reindeer herders to survive? If it is, then things are about to change. Isolation here is not what it once was. And last year, Bayara initiated a new kind of communication with the sky. He bought a TV and a satellite dish, which stands now beside his tent.